Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Every week, we have the very best analyst on to break down the film. Greg's work and insights, they're exceptional, and we're fortunate to have him every Wednesday only on 104.5 The Zone. Greg, how are you?
Jonathan, what's happening? Big win on Sunday.
I know. 1-1 looks so much better than 0-2 going into this Jacksonville week for the Tennessee Titans, no doubt. As far as a creative game plan and execution of a game plan, what did you think of the Titans and Vrabel's plan on Sunday against Houston based on what they had available and who was out?
I assume you're talking about on offense.
Mainly offense, yes.
Because they played that game. That game was built on their defense. If their defense did not perform in that game, they could not play that way on offense. So offense was theoretically secondary to defense because they played that game, quite honestly, to limit the exposure of Martin Pamphile and pass protection and to minimize Gabbert's intermediate and deeper throwing opportunities. That's the way they played this game. And they could only stay with that if the defense did its job. I mean, I think there were actually two true deep drops in the game. And both times Pamphile was beaten by the pass rusher. For it forced Gabbert into an early throw and he couldn't hit a wide open Davis. And the other time he got sacked. I think those were the only true deep drops in the game. Everything else was quick game, boot action, wide receiver screen. The run game, obviously, the whole thing with Henry and the Wildcat. When you do that kind of stuff, you're basically saying we don't have an offense that can work really that effectively. So it's all built on your defense.
Kamale Correa, he played less than 20 snaps. He had 5 tackles, a sack. He had 2 quarterback hits, some pressures. He made an impact when he was worked into the lineup. How are they picking their spots with him in this defense for the Titans?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because he didn't play that much. His sack actually came on a zero blitz where the blitz by Brown occupied the tight end who left Correa, and that so he ended up with a clean run at the quarterback. That was a function of the concept, the tactic of zero blitz. But you know, as we discussed when the trade was made, they're using him as an outside linebacker. That's what I think he is. He can certainly line up as a base 3-4 outside linebacker, and I think he has pass rush skill. So whether he starts getting more snaps, that remains to be seen. Obviously, they released Aaron Wallace. Finch only got, I think, 3 or 4 snaps in this game. So Correa is I assume he'll be kind of the third guy. You know, you have Morgan, you have Arakpo, so he may get more and more snaps.
We talked about the offensive game plan for the Titans, Greg. What did you think of the Texans' game plan to go against that Titans defense? Specifically, how did they try to attack the defense?
You're talking about how the Texans
went after the Titans.
Well, the Texans have their own set of issues, and it makes it hard because they start a second-year player at right tackle in Julian Davenport and a rookie at left tackle in Martinez Rankin. And they're limited in what they theoretically can do as well, and that's where I thought that the Titans did a really good job with pass rush. I thought that they featured a lot of multiple front looks. They featured a lot of disguised coverages out of their nickel. They had multiple blitz concepts that featured defensive backs. Landry looked like he was shot out of a cannon a number of times in this game. You know, they lined up with what we call the NASCAR or cheetah front. Different teams call it different things, where you essentially have 3 edge pass rushers on the field. So you have Morgan, you have Arakpo. Who else? Who is the third guy? I'm losing. But Casey moves around a lot as well in that look. Casey, I thought, flashed as an inside pass rusher as well in this game. So they did a lot of really good things to sort of exploit the issues that the Texans had at their offensive tackle position.
What did you think about Morgan playing inside a little bit here.
Yeah, they've done that a little before, prior to this year when Dick LeBeau was there, when he would move people around in sort of what we call the joker position. You know, so I think that was done. And don't forget, where Mike Vrabel has come from, obviously he came from Houston, and they do that a lot with that five across front where different people are aligned in different spots on the defensive line. So this is not something new for Mike Vrabel, the idea of taking a pure outside linebacker slash defensive end slash edge rusher and moving them inside. So this is something Vrabel's done. It's something Morgan's done.
One thing specifically that we saw Houston attack with the Titans defense was the side of the field Malcolm Butler was on. They were setting up the aggressive play from Butler for that deep shot throughout this game. How would you assess Butler's play, and are you watching to see any adjustments from him moving forward?
Well, it's interesting because Butler played very aggressively, particularly when it was DeAndre Hopkins. Because what they did is very often when it was Hopkins on Butler's side, because they play sides, they don't match up. So Butler was the right corner, Jackson was the left corner. When Hopkins was on the side of Butler, he would get in his face and he pressed him. And I thought he was pretty effective. Now, he got beat on a long touchdown by Fuller, but that was not bad coverage. That was a really well-thrown ball. Butler was not, he didn't run by Butler like Butler was run by last week by Stills. So I thought actually Butler played pretty well in this game. He played with physicality. He played with competitive toughness.
How about Adoree Jackson? He gets his first interception of his career on just an athletic play in the end zone, going up over the top of Hopkins to bring down that interception in the end zone. But overall play, Greg, it seems like he's off to a nice start. And I'm actually adding in what was an up and down performance in Miami to that. I thought he was good on Sunday.
Yeah, and that interception that you're talking about, I actually thought that Byard was responsible for that interception because that was a great read. The Texans ran what we call duo run action with two double teams. They had 12 personnel on the field, which is a run alert because you have the two tight ends, and you had Hopkins, who was sort of a minus split to the formation, and I thought Byard showed outstanding recognition of pass. They were counting with the minus split with Hopkins. They were counting on him getting inside of Jackson on the vertical route, which he essentially was, and they were counting on Byard reacting to the run action because of everything involved with the play and not being in position to play the deep throw, and Byard did not bite at all, and he actually made a great play, which I think allowed Jackson to make the interception. It was still a very athletic play, but I think that Byard's play allowed Jackson to make that play.
That's a great point. Greg Cosell with us here on the Midday 180, presented by the Huffaker Group. Greg, let's transition now to Week 3, Titans and Jaguars. The Jags, against New England, they threw on first down 63% of the time, and they've yet to be behind on the scoreboard so far through 2 weeks, so it's not like they're trying to score quickly. What do you see in this Jags game plan, from what they did against the Patriots compared to Week 1, and how they're adjusting week to week based on their matchups?
Well, that's a great question, because one thing that we can say about Blake Bortles, and he certainly had an up and down career, and he certainly can be poor, and he certainly can be good. He had as good a game as he's had against the Patriots last week. He dropped back 50 times and threw 45 passes, which normally you don't think of the Jaguars as wanting to do that. But they knew they were going to get a lot of man coverage. They might get a lot of man coverage this week from the Titans. And one thing about Blake Bortles, you can go back to last year, to the year before, is he is willing to throw the ball to the outside the numbers, to his wideouts, when they're in man coverage. He's always been an aggressive thrower and willing to do that. And I think that that's something you have to be aware of, because they've actually got a pretty decent wide receiver core. You know, Keelan Cole was a good player last year. He's a good player. And they have Westbrook who can run. So you have to absolutely be aware that Bortles will throw the ball to the one-on-one outside the numbers.
In Week 1, New England hit Watson 12 times when they played Houston.
Yep.
Last Sunday, Bortles was not sacked. In fact, he was not even hit by the Patriots defense. Cam Robinson is out now for the season with the ACL at left tackle. Tell us about Jacksonville's offensive front, how good they were on Sunday, and is that more about New England? It may be. How do they adjust at left tackle, though, moving forward?
Well, I'm sure they'll play Wells, who was there last year as well. And when Robinson missed some snaps, Wells was the guy. And I think you have to look at it similarly to the way it was this week against the Texans. You have to feel that you can rush the quarterback. And I think Mike Vrabel will selectively blitz. You know, one of the things that the Jaguars like to do, whether it's Fournette, whether it's Yeldon, or whether it's Grant, who's got a ton of explosiveness, is they like to get their backs involved in the passing game. And when I say they don't necessarily run vertical routes, but they get them involved in flat routes, in quick check down kind of throws, screens. So one of the things about a blitz, if you choose to blitz, one reason you blitz is to force the back to have to stay in to protect. Not always to sack the quarterback. Obviously, that's an end objective. But Bill Belichick used to talk about this all the time, that sometimes you blitz just to make sure the back does not leak out as a receiver or free release. So I think that's something you want to be aware of with the Jaguars. Their backs are very much a part of their passing game. But I think, again, with Wells playing left tackle, you need to attack that. You can create one-on-one matchups against offensive linemen by the nature of your fronts. And that's one thing I thought that the Titans did really well this week against the Texans.
Greg, the Patriots, they trade for wide receiver Josh Gordon. Just pure talent and skill. Describe Gordon for us. And this is a Patriots offense that through a couple of weeks doesn't throw to the wide receivers very much at all. Can that change now?
Well, that'll be interesting because they've brought in a lot of wide receivers over the years, Jonathan, and some big names, some players who'd been good with previous teams. And the issue that they always had is there's so many option routes and what we call choice routes and decisions and adjustments that have to be made after the snap of the ball in tandem with what Tom Brady sees. Now, they can adjust that as well. Obviously, it's Bill Belichick, and that can be adjusted. You know, they could use Gordon in much the same manner they used Randy Moss a number of years ago, because Josh Gordon is a big man with tremendous speed. He's very explosive. I remember the year he led the NFL in receiving, playing 14 games, catching a quick slant against the Patriots, and it was against Aqib Talib, and it was about an 80-yard touchdown, and he outran Talib like Talib was standing still. Now, that was a number of years ago, but you're dealing with a really special wide receiver, talent-wise and size-wise.
Can we revert back? What was wrong about Cooks in that system? And I know they've got a guy coming off suspension, but they traded a guy that they traded for who was supposed to be the solution to this problem, and he seems to be doing all right where he is.
PK, I don't know, because maybe it's a money issue as well. Yeah. That's what we don't know. I mean,
how did he fit in that system? How did he play in that system?
I thought he played well. I've spoken to some people that believed, even though Brady threw for 505 yards in the Super Bowl, some people told me that if Cooks didn't get hurt in that game, and I believe it was in the first half, that they thought that the Patriots would have won. Now, I don't know. You know, that's all speculative stuff, but the Cooks did very well for them. I mean, when I remember watching the tape last year, he provided a vertical dimension, an intermediate dimension. He could run by people. He could run away from people. So I thought he did very well in New England last year. So there had to be something more. I can't believe it was purely a talent issue.
Greg Cosell with us. Greg, Carson Wentz returns to the Eagles lineup Sunday against Indianapolis. It's easy to tell when you watch the press conferences how elated Doug Peterson is about Wentz being back.
Wouldn't you be?
Yeah, of course. from your vantage point, what are elements of the Philly offense that we have not seen featured since he left the lineup with that ACL injury?
The intermediate and downfield passing game. And I think that's critical. Now, we can sit here and debate the quality of the Eagles receivers right now due to injury. But the thing about Carson Wentz, besides the obvious physical talent, and he's a high-level physical talent, is he has great ability pre-snap to decipher the defense and post-snap to read what's going on and then make the right throw. The phrase I always use, you guys have heard me use it, is to eliminate and isolate. He's very good at eliminating what's not there and isolating where to go with the football within the timing of the drop and the route concept. I think some of that's been missing. And he will push the ball down the field. He's an aggressive mindset thrower.
Greg Cosell with us. Are you seeing anything unique with Ryan Fitzpatrick compared to what you've seen in all the other teams he's played for throughout his career?
Well, Ryan Fitzpatrick, by the way, has started over 120 games, which a lot of people may not realize. He's always had moments like this. He's an aggressive guy as well. His issue has always been two things over time, which is why most people would say he's Ryan Fitzpatrick, is his accuracy has been scattershot at times, and his ability to process, to eliminate and isolate has at times been problematic. Right now, he's playing at a really high level in both those areas. They have a skill set group of players that are as good as any in the league. They've got two tight ends who are highly talented, and they can throw four wide receivers out there. Clearly, Humphreys is a slot guy, but Godwin, Jackson, Evans, that's a very talented trio right there. So your deal, look, week one, the Saints essentially did what they always do and what they did exceptionally well last year, is they played man coverage. And the receivers for the Bucs killed the man coverage. Evans just ate up Lattimore in that game. And then whenever they went to zone, Dirk Cutter dialed up the right play, and Fitzpatrick hit it. So everything is working right now. But make no mistake, this is a very talented, skilled group team.
How they've run? And Ronald Jones has not been a factor for them yet. How much do they need him to emerge?
Well, it's a great question, PK, and let me answer it this way. I think the running games throughout the NFL are not there yet for two reasons. Offensive lines didn't play very much in the preseason. And then the two reasons that I'm going to mention are, number one, that's a unit that requires cohesion and working together. And number two, it requires stamina. These guys are not ready to play 70 snaps a game yet, to have a running game that lasts for four quarters. So you're seeing, you know, Matt Breida is the leading rusher in the NFL, taking nothing away from Matt Breida. But the really good run games, you put the Rams tape on and you see them really struggling to run the football. Now, you have to assume that running games and O-lines will get better and better, but I think O-lines are behind right now because they didn't get a lot of work in the preseason.
Greg, I remember discussing the draft from 2017, that April, and Patrick Mahomes and pairing him with Andy Reid and how Andy had coached Brett Favre. We went through all of that. When you watch the Chiefs right now, is there a quintessential Andy Reid play when he has the quarterback who can let it fly? Is there something you can point to with what they've done through 2 weeks?
I think there's two things that Andy's always done really well. I think one is called the flood concept, or the three-level stretch, where it's three routes to one side of the field, a short route, an intermediate route, and a vertical route. That's a staple of an Andy Reid offense. And the other thing that he's always done well is attack the vertical seams. And I think you see both of those things. Now, Mahomes, the issue with Pat Mahomes when he came out of college was not that he wasn't a great thrower. The issue was that he was a very kind of random, second-reaction, undisciplined, loose kind of player. I think what Andy Reid is really, really good at with designing route concepts is almost forcing your quarterback to play within structure. And Mahomes, I mean, we see the kinds of throws he's made. Now, some people have gone overboard. I've heard people on TV say he's going to break every record this year. I think we need to wait and see on that. He's played two games. There's no question he's a super talented thrower with a lot of weapons and a very good offensive scheme and design.
Greg, have you liked what you've seen from Sam Darnold so far?
I have. In fact, I thought the game this week was a much better barometer of a true NFL game for him than the week before, when the score got out of hand and he wasn't asked to do very much and he didn't have to do very much. I thought this week, I was impressed with Darnold. I think that for the most part, he sees things well. He certainly has that second reaction ability that we knew. But I think he's a very interesting player to watch. Let me put it to you this way, Jonathan. His body and his movements tend to be somewhat frenetic when you watch him, but his helmet and his eyes are relatively calm, if that makes sense. You know, he has a very good feel for where to go with the ball based on the route concepts versus the coverage. So I've been impressed with him through 2 weeks.
If the Titans need to hide the tackles again, Lawan's in the locker room, not allowed to talk yet, not out of protocol. I think we're presuming he'll be back. Kelly wasn't in there. Conklin wasn't in there. I don't know what that means. But if they're still limited at tackle against the Jaguars, are they going to be able to pull off some of the same stuff second week in a row?
See, theoretically, you could have said something similar about the Texans, although Clowney did not go. But the other kid who had the sack was he ate up Pamphile the few times that they went with the deeper drops. Again, then you're relying on your defense. Then you're relying, PK, on the same game. You're relying on a game that you can win 17-14 or 20-17. You know, they had that game-winning field goal drive that started with the Lewis outside zone run, their staple, with a nice little boot action throw to Davis, with a screen to Davis for 18 yards that fortunately the fumble went out of bounds. You know, you're hoping for those kinds of plays offensively to at least get some points on the board and that your defense can hold Jacksonville to, you know, 14, 17 points. You're hoping for the same kind of game.
Greg, if we said, I know you love lists. If we said, let's start listing the best teams you've seen through 2 weeks, how long would it take you to mention Jacksonville?
Oh, they're really good. I'd mention the Rams, too. You know, Jacksonville, look, if their offense, with what Bortles did last week, and again, that doesn't mean that he's going to be that player every week because he's been up and down, but he threw for 377 yards, which was the most the Patriots, they didn't give up that many yards all of last season, including the Super Bowl. So Bortles threw for 377 against New England. He threw 45 balls. I think in an ideal world, they don't want him to throw 45 balls, but if his consistency can increase and he can become a solid NFL quarterback week to week, they've got pretty good pieces. We know about their defense, so they can be a very good team. I think Minnesota can be a very good team, too.
Greg Cosell joins us weekly here on the Midday 180 every Wednesday at 12:15. Greg, thank you so much. We'll do it again next week.
Guys, really appreciate it. Thank you.